Good afternoon. Thanks for coming. My name is Shelley Malin, and I am the moderator for this session, and I'm actually presenting in this session as well. I'm going to introduce you to the folks who are going to be presenting this afternoon. We all work together, so we're presenting on some work that we've been engaged in. We're in the third year of our work together on this project. The title of this session is Innovative Nursing Education Through Collaboration with Schools. And I'm going to introduce all of us now, and then we'll stand up and do our presentation. So as I said, my name is Shelley Malin. I am on faculty. I'm the Advocate Broman Endowed Professor at the College of Nursing, Mennonite College of Nursing at Illinois State University. And I am the Project Director for America's Promise School Project, which we'll tell you a little bit about. I am Wisconsin educated. All three of my degrees are from various Wisconsin institutions, including the University of Wisconsin-Madison, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and Marquette University. I've been practicing a long time, 39 years, going on 40 years in nursing, and I've had a foot usually in either one or both of these worlds, the world of practice and the world of academia. So currently, my professorship, I spend part of my time at the university as well as part of my time in a clinical setting. Next to me is Dr. Carla Pohl. Dr. Pohl is an assistant professor at the College of Nursing. She's a very experienced nurse with experience in both public health. She's also a certified nurse midwife. She currently, in her role at the university, is responsible for teaching undergraduate public health theory course. She has a clinical group in this America's Promise model that we're going to tell you a little bit about. She has a group in the high school. Her bachelor's degree is from Cal State in Fresno. Her master's degree in nursing is from Arizona State University, and her CNM and DNP from Frontier Nursing University. On our team, Carla does many things. She is the person we look to organize our evaluation component of our work together. Sitting next to her is Mary Boley Cranston. Mary is, her background is primarily public health nursing. Her bachelor's degree is from the University of Iowa, and her master's degree from Northern Illinois University. She's been teaching at Mennonite College of Nursing for 10 years. She's the coordinator of undergraduate public health and responsible for placement in the schools, the public schools that we're going to tell you a little bit more about. She is connected in the community. She makes this happen for us. She knows all of the people in the schools, including the school nurses. We couldn't do it without her ability to connect us. And it's possible. We're all fairly creative. Mary probably has some of the most creative ideas, and she'll share some of that with you. And then sitting next to her is Yvette Pigman. Yvette is a graduate assistant working with us. Her bachelor's degree is from Millikan University. Her graduate studies are focused to become a family nurse practitioner. We, of course, are encouraging her to continue school and become a faculty member because we'd love to have her join us. But she's really been working with us as a graduate assistant from the inception of the funded project and continues. She graduates this May. Her background in nursing includes both public health and experience working as a school nurse as well. So that's our team. And we'll tell you a little bit just about our work, set context for the papers that we're going to be presenting today. So where is Illinois State University? Well, let me tell you first a little bit about it. I live in Wisconsin. I commute down to the university. And today, it happens all the time. People say to me, "You're going down to Chicago?" I'm like, "No, I'm going to Illinois State University." So I'll tell you a little bit about it. It's the first public university in Illinois. Good size, about 22,000 students. The College of Nursing is called Mennonite College of Nursing. It was a freestanding private college that became part of the university about 13 years ago now. We have an undergraduate, a healthy undergraduate program, as well as graduate programs focused in helping students earn a master's degree, a PhD, and a DNP, which we just started this summer. And here's a picture of where Bloomington Normal is. People who live in the Chicago area, anybody here from Chicago? We're downstate, right? Everything that's not Chicago is kind of downstate. Anyway, I have to give them a hard time because that's what we hear all the time. So it's an interesting location because we're kind of equidistant from St. Louis and from Chicago. A bit about the project, not too much, just enough so you understand what the impetus was for the projects that we're going to share with you. We are in the third of a four-year funded project, and the impetus for the project was this. We're located kind of right in the middle of the state, and we were finding it quite difficult to be able to find traditional pediatric learning experiences for our undergraduate students, and many of us across the country, I think, are finding this to be problematic. We're about 45 minutes away from the closest freestanding children's hospital, and I think 15 different schools use that place for learning purposes. My background in clinical background is primarily pediatrics, and in all of the years of teaching, one of the things that I've believed is that if we want to help our students learn about kids, they ought to learn about them in the setting they spend the most time in, which is either their home or the schools. So as I worked with my colleagues, and we already had a strong presence in the public schools in Bloomington Normal, thanks to Mary and colleagues who were using those schools for public health nursing. We wrote a grant to get some funds to actually be able to learn and design and test innovative approaches to education, and doing that in a manner that we're partnering with many, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, but particularly the public schools. When we wrote the grant, we wrote our goals aligned with America's Promise Health Alliance. The alliance, you can go online and read more about it if you don't know about it, but essentially it was started by Colin Powell and his wife. It's an alliance of organizations and businesses focused on this, that we ought to be able to promise kids in the United States five things. And they're listed on the bottom there. Okay, Healthy Start is one of our areas where we connected with America's Promise Alliance, Effective Education, Opportunity to Help Others. Why did we focus on this? Well, State Farm, who funded us, is an active member of America's Promise Alliance, very involved in the community. Okay, so the original grant that we wrote, our goal really is to develop sustainable, mutually beneficial relationships between public schools, the College of Nursing, and the community. So we're partnering with the school districts to provide rich clinical learning sites for nursing students, and in that, develop a novel approach to clinical education for our undergraduate nursing students. We have graduate students involved as well, but really our primary group of students that we're working to create learning experiences for our undergrad students. Also to pilot innovative, evidence-based health promotion strategies that promote children's wellness, and to provide the children in the schools with nursing role models, our students. To partner with the schools such that we support children living with chronic health conditions as well. And so you'll hear more about that. Where we're at is we're working to use the school as a primary learning site for our undergraduate nursing students, and we've clinically blended nursing care of children and public health nursing in the process of doing this. We do our work such that our goal is for this to be seamless for the students, for the undergraduate students, while currently meeting the requirements for two distinct courses. As I mentioned, graduate students are invited to complete focus projects. All of our graduate students take epidemiology, and so we invite them every year to consider doing projects that we need done, actually, to be honest with you, but bringing their ideas to our projects that we need done as well. And quickly, we have two school districts in Bloomington Normal. They are two cities, and here's what they look like. District A is large, 24 schools. District B is small and older with 9 schools. The red schools are the ones that we're currently working in, where we have our students placed. So we're in all of the public high schools, and we're in 4 elementary schools in District A and 4 elementary schools in District B. We chose schools, to be honest with you, we took Mary's lead on this. I mentioned she's the person who knows all of the school nurses in the community. So we worked with schools that had willing principals and school nurses, first and foremost school nurses. We do have school nurses, which I know, depending on where you're at in the country, that varies. Our school nurses often have more than one school, but they never have more than two schools. And the high schools have their own school nurse. We looked at the willingness, and then we looked at poverty and diversity rates, wanting to have our students engaged in excellent learning opportunities and exposure and working with people that were not as affluent as they might be, as well as diversity. And there is some diversity in Bloomington Normal, not as much as you see in other parts of the country. And then we work to include both districts and a mix of all levels of schools. We're not in junior highs right now, and if you're interested in talking later, we can talk about that. So here's our partners. I'm not going to read the list. We're also working, I will mention this, we're working with the health department in the county. And, of course, the parents, the children, and our nursing students as we create the model of learning. And here's our entire team. Four of us are here. We're joined by school nurses, a leader of school nurses from each school district, as well as a phenomenal colleague from the health department. And we have a talented special projects manager in the College of Nursing who's working with us as well. None of this would be possible without, honestly, the support of the Dean of the College of Nursing, Dr. Janet Crutchy. She's a visionary, and she's helped us put this forward. So that's enough about that. And now I'm going to have Carla talk with you about our innovative nursing education in terms of what are we doing? What's our evaluation plan? What kind of data do we have?
Thank you, Shelley, and thank you very much, everybody, for joining us this afternoon. And it may seem a little odd to begin the program with a little discussion about evaluation and project evaluation. Oh, forgot, none of us have any disclosures. But when you're doing an innovative educational process, there has to be some form of evaluation, and ours started with some type of an immediate feedback loop so that we could make some programmatic changes. And what we ended up doing is we ended up submitting four separate IRBs to our internal review board, our institutional review board, so that we could evaluate each piece of the programmatic stuff separately. We cover so many different broad areas, it was hard to make one IRB. So we've got outcome measures we will have outcome measures in clinical education, oral health, family outreach project, which Shelley will talk to you a little bit about. And at the end of this year, we'll have some information on adolescents with diabetes and the support group that our students help run. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the clinical education piece. And it's one of the biggest concerns that we had. As Shelley's kind of mentioned, there have been, and this is a national trend, declining of pediatric admissions. Right now, pediatric admissions only account for 4% of the inpatient population. So in terms of the clout, in terms of being able to influence how the staffing goes in hospitals, because pediatric patients really do require a specially trained nurse, someone who's familiar with child development, knows the different communication styles. You guys all know that. So that that ability for the hospitals to afford to hire and maintain that type of a nurse is declining, and that's what's led to the consolidation into larger regional hospitals. If you're in a large urban setting, you're probably set for a pediatric clinical. But if you're like us, 45 minutes from either Springfield or Peoria, actually an hour and a half from Springfield, then we have a lot of difficulty. The students have to travel far, and we're in a lot of competition with other schools of nursing to try to get clinical slots. And we've been finding that more and more care is being provided through outpatient services, even type 1 diabetes. There's a lot of emphasis on local care that's on an outpatient basis. You don't see them admitted quite as often. So in addition to that, we've noticed that some of our experiences are becoming more and more observational. The students aren't really doing a lot of hands-on pediatric nursing because there's so much that has to be gone through in terms of the electronic medical record training and HIPAA, and then the hospitals are becoming increasingly concerned about confidentiality and the number of students that are there. So for us, it was quite a challenge to provide a quality clinical experiences, and we need to find non-traditional settings for our students. So we started out with focus groups, and that's what I'm going to talk about mostly today. They're conducted at the end of each semester, so it's a group of 10 to 12 students who have just finished the America's Promise program. They're facilitated by non-clinical faculty, and that's important because we wanted honest, feedback, regardless of whether it was positive or negative, so that we could get some type of, so we could see how we were doing in terms of providing an educational experience for them. And then we are very careful to tell them that the responses are compiled by a graduate assistant, and then only the transcripts are given to the America's Promise team, which is what you saw the group of us at the beginning. And we don't get those responses until after grades are turned in. And because I'm teaching the public health course, I mentioned that at least three or four times during the semester, because I want the students to come to the focus groups. They're not required, they're not mandatory, but we do strongly encourage them to come, because that's the only way we're going to figure out what they're thinking in terms of how the program's working. So we start out the facilitator, because I'm clinical faculty. The facilitator starts out the focus group with what worked well, what was difficult. These obviously are open-ended qualitative measures. And then we ask specifically share your thoughts and feedback about, and then to get this conversation going, specific program components. How is it working with the teachers? How is it working with the school nurses? How did your health promotion projects go? What did you think about the family outreach project, which is another name for a home visit? So there's different program components that we ask about and get feedback from. And what are the most important things you learned this semester? And then we conclude with what else should we know? And this is kind of a tip for ensuring success, because sometimes it's a little difficult to motivate undergraduate nursing students to come to a focus group. So we always offer food. We feed them either a light breakfast, food is important. We make sure that it's conveniently scheduled for them, so it either occurs after the public health nursing class, because they have a large gap in their time between public health nursing and site nursing in the afternoon, or we do it right after one of their simulation experiences. So we try to connect it with one of the classes that they're already taking. We ensure confidentiality, and again, like I said, I talk about that in class. I make sure they know that I'm not going to see any of the responses, that we want honest, honest feedback, that type of thing. And then we're very respectful in terms of what the students say. And we let them know that whatever you say, most of the time we're doing changes to the program by the next semester. That's why we wanted this fast turnaround. So these are some of the student responses in our from our focus groups. They really enjoyed planning and conducting education for kids. So because we're in the elementary schools and high schools, you'll be able to see the difference. This is my favorite quote. They like the focus on prevention, more doing as opposed to just learning about it. That really warms the public health heart. A focus on assessment skills, because they spend a lot of time with the school nurse, and they're assessing anywhere from 10 to 30 or more students a day, because there's quite a crowd that comes in and out of the nurse's office. They also enjoyed their critical thinking skills and managing multiple issues at once, because if anyone's ever been the school nurse, they don't come in one at a time. It's almost like being in an emergency room. It's either they're all there or not. The projects that they do, the children really lit up when they received deodorant with their hygiene presentation. they're interested in working with the school nurses. It was interesting. They love building relationships with students and then the interactions with the teachers. Now, the negative responses, the things that they, and this is a pretty consistent theme, is they really were concerned about the lack of acute care experiences, and they were really concerned because they didn't have any experience with real pediatric patients. So I guess for undergraduate nurses, the term real must refer to someone who's in a bed, because otherwise I'm afraid to ask what they were taking care of. the lack of structure, unclear expectations, and this came from one of the high school groups. They didn't have any experience working with younger children because in high school they were only working with 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. So we took that stuff and did programmatic changes. And what we've done is we've instituted detailed schedules. So in addition to the 16-week semester schedule, they get a detailed hour-by-hour schedule so that they know exactly where they're supposed to be and the school nurses know where they're supposed to be. We've also added different things for them to do, so it's not, public health is pretty fuzzy and amorphous anyway, and has a lot of autonomy in it, and the students don't adapt to that very well, regardless of where we are. So the more detail and more structure we could give them, the better they seem to have responded this semester. We've increased communication with the school nurses so that most faculty go out during the week to talk with the school nurse, make sure things are going well, doing that relationship building. And each of us are in one school and we stay there. So even though the students are changing, the nurses and the faculty, the clinical faculty, stay the same. And that, I think, has really helped with relationships. We changed our orientation to focus more on what to expect and to connect it with what they would normally see in a hospital so that that's what they're used to seeing. We can talk to them about what to expect, and that seemed to give them a little more. We did a whole bunch of role-playing for them, how to do assessments. They seemed a little more comfortable going in this semester. We're piloting experience at Children's Hospital of Peoria. Of Illinois. It's in Peoria. And Shelley and I are taking our groups on a one-day observational experience to try to get, and we're trying to build that pediatric clinical experience into our program in the future when we go All America's Promise. And then we've also piloted daycare experience for health promotion, and that's gone really well. So I think what we'll try to do in the future is try to hook each school up with a daycare center so you could put two students in a daycare center so they get that younger age group plus whatever age group that they're working with. So the lessons that we've learned, we've had two clinical groups. We still do for another year and a half, and it really did foster an us versus them. So the traditional pediatric folks, you know, they were the lucky ones, and the America Promise ones with the not real pediatric patients weren't. We found that structure is very, very important, clear expectations, and students don't read the material that well, so you really have to go over it in detail. And initially, we had tried to give them multiple out-of-school opportunities, some at an autism program, some at the pediatrician's office, to try to increase the pediatric content, and that led to so much fragmentation that the students didn't feel like they could work as a team to get their health promotion projects done. So what we've done is we've gotten rid of those except for the autism experience. I think all of us are going to probably incorporate that. And then all the other experiences are all in the school except for the daycare. So that seems like it's really helped. Our next steps, and we're going to be implementing that in a couple of weeks, all of our students have to do a simulation lab. It consists of four scenarios, and they're either public health or pediatric. And since we're really concerned about pediatrics and the pediatric clinical experience that the students are getting, we've got graduate assistants who have been trained in the Creighton University Simulation Lab scoring tool, and they will observe the undergraduate students going through their scenarios. There's four pediatric scenarios. And then they'll score them, and we'll be doing both groups. The students will identify themselves as either in group A or group B, so the GAs are blinded to the scoring mechanism. And then what we're going to look at is differences between the two groups so that we know, so it's a quality assurance way of finding out, are we still giving them quality pediatric experience, because that's what our biggest concern is. So we'll have that data by summer. We'll have data before then, but our sample size, because our traditional pediatric clinical group's a little bit smaller, we'll have enough of a sample size by the end of the year. We're also going to look, they have to take a standardized test at the end of every nursing class. It's through the American Testing Institute, and we will be comparing the overall composite data on nursing care of children between the two groups. We don't know who's in which group. I have a GA separate them for me and enter the data, and then I just run the results. And of course, we're going to continue our focus group so that we can continue with our quality improvement.